Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Hello, married couples, get to the retreat. Excited to be out here, excited to preach God's word as always. How am I going to say this? There's going to be three God stories that happened this week involved in today's lesson. And I'm not going to sit up here and just share God stories with you guys. We're going to get into the scriptures. But my goal at the end of this is for us to realize how exciting, how active and alive God is if we have faith. Let's keep that in mind, okay? Let's pray, because I can't do this without the Lord. You guys already know. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I need you. We need you. Holy Spirit, show up and speak. Holy Spirit, reach us where we're at, Father, and just show us, God. Show us how to believe and have faith to overcome everything that this world, that this life, that the enemy throws at us. We know you are greater and you win in the end. In Jesus' name, everyone said? If you guys could throw my first verse up there, because this is what's going to be important about this, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. We have to keep this in mind for today's lesson. We cannot lean on our own understanding. I want to set people free. I want you guys to have a living hope that surpasses this world and your circumstances. I want you guys to understand that I feel that it's unfair the life I get to see every day. I feel that it's unfair the life that Pastor Ron lives every day, that a lot of people out here in these seats live every day, and there's people who are hurting and don't understand it. That's where we're at. So this sparked, of course, I like to share how I get to these lessons, because never does God let me speak on what I wanted to speak on. Never. Drives me insane. But Pastor Ron has been spending his time discipling some of us men. And I'm so grateful. I wanted to start with saying how grateful I am to have a pastor that would do that, that would spend that time with us. Yes, give it up for Pastor Ron. It drives me nuts that sometimes he doesn't get the credit that he deserves for being a great pastor, although we know it here, but that man, he cares, and he cares about us, and he's pouring into us. And we went over the devotions in Hebrews 11 about faith, and we just broke it down a little bit, and I couldn't shake it. And I go down my wormhole and do a whole study on faith, and boom, all the stories came to my mind that have been happening, and it all tied in, it all went together, and that's where we're going to go today. I'm going to start with a story about my wife. This just happened this week on Monday. So my wife, beautiful wife, Cassie, she went in for a routine checkup of her thyroid. She's been dealing with some pain problems here and there. And they found a 2-centimeter nodule is what they call it. And it was on her thyroid. Normally, they're not cancerous. It's not like it, the probability is more that it's not cancerous. But of course, as a husband, you get that little slight worry. You get that slight worry, right? But I found myself not worrying. That's what I found myself. I found myself in a state of not worrying at all. I could not worry, to the point that I was praying to God. I was like, God, you need to give me empathy. Me and my wife always talk about my lack of empathy. I need to feel what she's going through. I need to feel her worry. I need to feel these things so I can pour in and minister to her. Because I've always, throughout our relationship, when a big situation happens, I know it is my job to be that priest of the household and minister to my wife. So I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to get to a way that I could feel this. I don't know why I was seeking it, but I was seeking a worry for my wife, and I could not. So much to the point that I told the junior hires on Sunday during announcements, I was like, I'm going through a very serious situation right now, but I can't worry, and that's what faith looks like. And I couldn't. I couldn't worry, and then this is what God told me. God said, son, and I love it. As I was praying and I was reading my word, I heard, son, I don't want you to worry. Son, I don't want you to worry. And I couldn't stop. I couldn't get past that. Fast forward to Monday. My wife goes in. I text Pastor Ron and Josh and let them know, like, hey, I'm going to be a little late to work. I'm going to stay home with the kids. My wife has this serious biopsy going on, and I'm gonna take a few hours out the day. And I'm looking for this encouragement to send my wife. I can't find it. Then Jonnell Ward, he serves in the junior high, does Kicks for Kids with me. He sends me this clip on Instagram, and it's of a pastor just sharing that God's in control and it's in his hands, basically, is the best way to sum it up. And I sent that to my wife. Of course, it breaks her down and gives her that encouragement. The first thing I love from this was that it's not me. It's not me who encourages my wife. It's God. It doesn't have to come from my head, my brain. It comes from the family of believers that we have. Jonnell sent the perfect thing for me to send to my wife in the perfect timing. And that's what the importance of having people around you who are faith builders. If you don't have people who are faith builders, your faith is going to start wavering. So he sends that. My wife goes in. I'm at home with the kids waiting for the phone call. I'm like, okay, phone call is going to be good. I know it's going to be good. I know my wife, I feel like she's wavering a little bit because I'm always the one going, God's got it. We're under control to the point that I drive her nuts. But she calls me and she's like, are you ready? And I go, yep, I'm ready. She goes, I don't even know what to say. They were looking, x-raying, doing everything they could. They could not find the nodule anymore. It's gone. Come on. And so when God said, don't worry, he genuinely meant don't worry. He said, you don't have to worry if it's cancerous or not. It's gone. Crazy. Now, we're still praying and we're still believing. We're still hoping. We're going to pray that thing stays gone. And she has other health issues that are going right now as well. And what we took from it, what we took from our father was this, that regardless of with her other health issues with arthritis and things like that, regardless of what it looks like or the circumstance or how bad it gets or how good it gets, God is in control. He showed us that he's in control. Now, I say that not to just glorify myself and my wife, but I say that to hopefully give you guys hope that there's some of you out there, there's got to be people out there with health issues. There's got to be people out there who are in a state of needing hope and needing faith. And this is what is important. Regardless of what the circumstance looks like, and it could look real bad. And I'm not saying everyone is going to have a miracle. Everyone's not going to have a miracle. It's not going to always go like that. But God will always be in control. Sometimes, this is what I learned. Sometimes, us being able to withstand, persevere, and push through our trials will glorify God way more than a quick fix ever will. Sometimes there's people watching us. There's people watching us going, how is this person going to deal with cancer? How is this person going to deal with divorce? How is this person going to deal with COVID? How is this Christian going to glorify God through this horrible situation? And we're going to be looking at some people in the Bible who had to do these things. Now, I said I had multiple God stories. I want to, before I go to that, I want to say this. Something that popped in my mind when I was struggling with worrying for my wife, something that popped into my mind was there. I know that we're called to do some couples ministry. I know that we're called to do some things with our kids. I know that I'm called to do some things with the young adults in the church. I know that there's some callings in our lives that involve me and my wife. So when I was praying to God about making sure my wife was okay, I was reminding him and he was reminding me at the same time of the purpose that we had. That boosted my faith like no other. And it brings me to my first point. You guys can put that on the screen. Finding purpose will boost your faith. Because I think about our pastor. I think about Pastor Ron when he was hit with leukemia, when he was hit with that. How much, for one, he practiced faith biblically. He got a word from God saying he was going to be all right, and then he believed in it, right? But how much did he believe knowing that he had a calling to be a pastor over all these people? He was in his purpose. If you want to get an extra boost, an extra dose of faith, start praying and start finding your purpose. Start actively living out your faith so you can be in a position where you know that God needs to use you, that God wants to use you. Therefore, you're going to be all right because your job isn't finished yet. It's very important that we get into some type of outreach, some type of ministry, some type of pouring out what you've learned on others, because know what, it makes you even more valuable. I'm not going to say it just makes you valuable, because Jesus said you're valuable no matter what, but it makes you even more valuable, even more, because you are bringing something to the kingdom. Now, my next story, my friend Delilah, actually one of my best friend Jaime's wife, she She went through a traumatic experience when she was 16. Traumatic, and she posted on Instagram, and it was something I felt was worthy of being mentioned. She didn't get into how traumatic that experience was, but I know there's people out there listening and watching right now who have been through something like that. And now, 12 years later, she finished writing a book. She finished writing a book about how God was with her through all these trials of life, through that main traumatic experience. And she looked and noticed that when she posted and she finished this book, it was exactly at the same time period that stuff happened to her back then. So God knew. God knew what she was going through back then and knew that he was going to use it to bless her. And not only bless her, now when this book is done, now once it's published, it's going to bless women and men all around the world because she withstood and didn't give up on God through the trauma. How many people do you know hit the trauma and they give up? They give up on God. They give up on praying. God showed me this. I was talking to God about this lesson. I'm sorry, you guys, you have to bear with me. I was talking to God a lot for this. And it might drive some people nuts, but that's just the truth. I can't fake it. So I'm talking to him about it. I'm like, God, why aren't these God stories, why weren't they coming in like they used to? They used to come in even faster. I mean, God, yeah, I remember when we were coming up, they were just coming. And he told me that it's not that he's doing less, it's I'm praying less. And when he told me that, of course, I got hit with that conviction that makes you feel like you're the worst Christian in the world. But God is the same. God is the same. God wants breakthrough for all of us in different ways. I'm not talking about miracles. I'm talking about breakthroughs spiritually where you can withstand and fight through trials, that you can withstand and fight through hard circumstances, that you can dream. A lot of people have let dreams die because of lack of faith. Know when I got lazy at one point in inviting people to church. Know what I've traced it back to in talking to the Lord? It's because I didn't have faith that the power of what was going to be preached on this stage would change that person's life. And if you don't believe that, you're not going to invite people to church. If you don't believe that, you're not going to walk into a church building because you don't believe it's life-changing what the scriptures can do for someone's life. But I'm here to tell you it is. It changed my life to the fullest. And how many people out there right now can clap and testify that God has done something? I'm trying to tell you guys. So now there's, in dealing with faith, I told you guys we're going to get to the scripture. I'm going to get to the scripture now. We have to start with the father of faith. And that is Abraham. Abram before that. Let me get my other notes out. Sorry, I got multiple notes, you guys. We're going to jump. I know they're going to hate me in the back. We're going to jump to Genesis 17, if you guys can. Now we're going to get into the father. I want to make sure you guys understand it's the father of faith for a reason. He gets the promise that he's going to have descendants numerous as the stars, that he's going to have a son, that he's going to be the father of faith, that he's going to enter into a promised land. He gets this amazing promise from God. I need that in your mind, because where we're going to go later is the Hebrews 11, where we were in our devotions, where Pastor Ron walked us through. It's commonly known as the hall of faith, because you get just all the guys and girls in the Bible who have shown their faith and fought through and got to this, either had a breakthrough, had this amazing point. But we're gonna get there. But I want you to see, when a promise is given, what it requires. Think about that. When a promise is given, what it requires. When Abram was 99 years old, hope I can live that long, kind of. The Lord appeared. It matters what health we're at, right? The Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you will greatly increase your numbers. Go back. Go back to right there. Walk with me faithfully and be blamelessly. This is the part of Christianity, the part of following Christ, that rubs people the wrong way. But if we are a people that want to see God break through for us, we want to see God move. We want to move mountains. We want to see healings. We want to see the blind see. We want to see those things. Before this promise comes to the father of faith, the one that goes down in history as the one, like being the one that we look to for faith, he told him before he gets the promise, walk before me faithfully and be blameless. So that getting your life together is not because God doesn't like the fun that you have with the sin in our lives. He wants to clean it up. He wants to see your heart. He wants to know that you are for him. And when he does, he's going to show you how faithful he can be. Next, continue on. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my new covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you." And that we now become part of this bloodline, by the way, people, in case we didn't know. But I want to focus on the importance of this name change. Abram is exalted father. And you have to remember that he's going through this point in his life of he's struggling. He hasn't had kids. They're real old, by the way, when he gets this. You saw the age. They're old. They're old, old, old. And it has still, I just want to point that out. They're next level old. So I had to put myself in his shoes. Like, I'm 99, and God, you trying to tell me that I'm going to have a baby? Like, listen, you're God of miracles, but whoo. And I can imagine, right? You can only imagine. Like, there's a reason he's called Father of Faith, but it's exalted father. And he hadn't even became a father yet. But when he changes to Abraham, it means father of many, making your descendants numerous as the stars, father of many. And I wanted to point out that God, listen close, God can change your name. And I don't mean going from me like Justin to J2. When I say God can change your name, you can be on any path right now, any path, any route you're on. You could be giving up on any situation or circumstance in your life. And if you allow God in to plant a seed of faith and you believe in it and you push towards it and you start walking blamelessly towards him, he can change your whole situation. He can change it. Man, it's so hard not to just constantly go into how much Jesus can do for every single person out here. It's so hard to stay focused on delivering a lesson when I know that you just need to call on Jesus and believe in him and everything changes. You can break free of what's hurting you, I promise you guys. But we are going to continue on in this lesson. Again, I want to jump to Romans 4, 18 through 22. This is the New Testament talking about it. I want you guys to see how Abraham is looked at, how he's looked at later on. This is years later. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so he became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. I love that it calls her womb just dead, like zero chance. And that just, it's just something. You always find those little things in there. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. And that, you guys in the back, don't kill me. I want to jump back up to Hebrews 11, 1 through 2. I want you guys to line up those last verses with this. Now, the faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commanded for. Now, that seed of faith, when my wife got hit with the fact that she possibly had something cancerous in her body, I didn't go straight to worry, didn't go to doubt. I went to prayer to ask God to please, please, please give me a word. Let me know. Either prepare me for something, prepare me for battle, or prepare me for you to do something great. There's no in between. There's no prepare me to be devastated, depressed, and give up on life. That's not a thing. Who would even pray that? But I want you guys to understand that's that excitement that I was talking about earlier that I have for you guys out there. You cannot defeat a person of faith. You cannot. That's a point I want to make. If you guys could put that point up there. If you're a note writer, write that down. You cannot defeat a person of faith. This is the main things that we can be scared of. Death is the first one I think of. That's like, no one's scared of cancer itself. We're scared of death. We're scared of losing. And not even death. It's losing that person, right? That has been taken away. Jesus Christ has taken that away. How fearless can we actually live? How much hope can you actually have? There should be not, if you believe, if you have faith in this, God has given you a word. Faith comes from the word, from hearing the word. If you believe that God can do the things that he has said in the Bible, if you believe that when you confess your life and gave it to Jesus Christ, if you believe that you are saved, then you are saved. Then you have done it. Then You can go ahead and clap. Jesus is good. That's clap worthy. Jesus. I'll take a clap for Jesus. But if you can believe in that, if you act that out, what can life hit you with that keeps you down? What is it? I was thinking about, I'll just walk you through my thoughts. When my wife got hit, I'm like, okay, worst that can happen, she gets cancer. I'm going to pray a miracle can happen. Miracle doesn't happen. My next hope is she died, flatlines in the hospital. I'm going to have some faith that she can wake up 3 days later if she had to. Then that doesn't happen. Let's say that doesn't happen. Well, guess what? When God takes me from this earth, I'm going to see her again. So what you got for me, Satan? What you got? That's faith. That's faith because I believe what is written in this thing. And please, let's leave here today, Valley Bible, being people that believe in the word and believe in the power of God. And you know what that does? When we walk out this building, Bakersfield would shake. Satan would shake because there's too much faith out here. And he knows what faith produces. Okay, we're going to move on. I got settled down. I'm going. I want you guys to pull up 1 Corinthians 15, 55. I want the scripture to back up what I'm saying to you guys. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? I speak in terms of athletes and sports and things. This is an underrated verse in the Bible. Jesus has taken the sting of death away. He is taking it. It's no, just when I hear that sting of death, that thing that most humans fear most has been taken, it gets me pumped about serving the Lord. It gets me pumped about cleaning my life up. It gets me pumped about trying to blamelessly walk in his ways. It gets me pumped to throw things, anything aside, anything that would hinder me from following that guy who beat death. It should be the same for all of us out there. I want to move forward. Because Abraham gets tested. He gets tested greatly. He finally gets it, and I want you guys to get there with me. He finally gets this son, right? Finally gets the son that was promised. And then God says, you're going to go sacrifice him. You guys familiar with the story? Isn't that nuts that he says, you're going to go sacrifice him? This is how it's written. You guys don't got to put it up. Take your son, your only son. It's like he's literally just twisting the knife in the side of him. He says, God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love. I'm like, God, dang, you just really, really trying to make him feel this, right? And go to the region, sacrifice him as a burnt offering on the mountains that I will show you. So he says, take this son and you're going to sacrifice him. You're going to give him up. This is the response. And me as a father, I still struggle with this and wonder if I could get there. He says, Abraham answered in verse 8. This is in Genesis 22. If you guys are trying to track along, I didn't put them up there. God himself will provide a lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went together. He looked at his son and said, God's going to provide. Parents, if you are out there, we have the Connect Junior High. Make some noise over there, you guys. You guys have little God warriors over there. It's our job, men, priests of household, it's our job to be able to build our faith, build our belief in this word, that when they hit a trial, when they hit a circumstance, when they hit a place in life where it's bigger than us, when we can't help them out, that we are able to look them in the eye. And I learned this is hard. My daughter had said to me when she was praying about dreams, having bad dreams. I was praying. We pray with her every time she says she has bad dreams. She said, Daddy, but sometimes I pray and I still have bad dream. It stumped me, you guys. I was like, oh, what do I say to that? What do I say? And I go, you keep praying. You never give up because God can take those dreams away and turn them into good dreams. But it stumped me for a second. I didn't want to look my daughter in the face and not believe in what I said and not believe that God can take those dreams if he wants to. That's what we have to do as parents out there. We have to be like Abraham here and say, God will provide. God will make a way. God will get us out. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. As simple as that. The older I get, those classic sayings make so much more sense, don't they? It's crazy. But then it goes to this. He gets up there. He gets to the point of giving his son up. He gets to the point of offering the son that he loves so much. And God says, don't lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now that I know that you fear God because you have not withheld your son, your only son. He says, he tested him. He says, now I know that you fear God. You see, I'm learning that God doesn't want to take everything from us. He doesn't want to just take. I know God gives and takes away, but he doesn't want to take the things we love. He doesn't want to take the things that he has given to us. He never wants to take it. But what he will do is test us. He will test and see where your faith is at. If you fail that test, I think that's where that God takes away stuff comes into play. But he will test your faith. It says we don't test him, but he's mighty. He's God. He will test our faith. And if you're anywhere like anything like the competitive person I am, I'm trying to pass that test. Because I know if I pass that test, I get to continue on this road that feels so unfair. The hilarious good news that every time I'm in a trial and in a struggle, I see God show up like that. I never want to get off that path. And I want you guys on it and to stay on it. How many people out there are just holding on to something and won't give it away to show God that you fear him? How many people, this story is powerful. How many people out there, this is not just about sacrificing a son. For me, I came and sat in those same chairs, in the same spot. That was my spot right back there. Came and sat in my Packer jersey every week because I didn't have too many clothes. And came, and God kept telling me to give it up, give it up. Give it up. And for me, it was alcohol. It was more than alcohol. It was the party lifestyle. It was the lifestyle that came with it. And I was just holding on until I finally said, oh man, God, you are so good. I'm going to let go of that. And that was a freeing moment. And I know that there's either someone watching or someone sitting in here right now who knows what they're holding on to. You're holding on to an old relationship. You're holding on to an old addiction, a habit. You're holding on to a lifestyle. You're holding on to something, some pain, some bitterness, unforgiveness. And God says, test me, test yourself, throw it out there, let it go and see what happens next. You see, Abraham went to that mountain and let his son go. Let that one thing that he wanted most. It's the thing he literally prayed, cried for, begged God for. And God says, let it go. And as soon as he does, God says, boom, I have the world for you. And I'm telling you, that's not just an Old Testament story. I watch people live it every single day. I want to continue on. This hall of faith. I would like to hope that these men and women in the Bible, as they were actively living their lives, as they were walking through this, they weren't thinking one day they're gonna write about me into the Hall of Faith. They just believed. They just believed that God was who he said he was. And I know if I can tap into that tonight with the next part of this, that some lives can be radically changed. And that's my only hope today. My hope is to get no glory. My hope is for God to get the glory and some people to walk out here with the same belief I walked out of here with one day. And I know Bakersfield becomes a better place. This is it. This is my next point. Great faith produces great actions. You see, a lot of people try to be great. They try to do great things, but lack the great faith to do so. You want God to use you to do all these things. You want God to just use you in mighty ways, but you don't even believe that he can do it for you. I'm going to share a story. I told you I had God stories galore tonight. This is about your children's ministry. One of your children's leaders, his name's Evan Bell. He had a crazy experience just this last Saturday. It's crazy. And I know he won't glorify himself, so I'm gonna give it the credit it deserves because he's a man of faith. And me as now a father, it makes me proud. It makes me safe. It makes me know my kids are safe. And you'll understand once I share this. Evan went hiking with some friends. And Evan, I'm going to butcher this story. Forgive me. He sent me how it went down, but you already know. I'm going to just paraphrase it. He went hiking with some friends. And there was a girlfriend and a boyfriend there. And when they were coming down the mountain, Evan finishes first, but they're talking and they're hearing rumblings that the ex-husband of one of the girls who was there with her boyfriend was sitting at the bottom of the hiking trail waiting for them. You guys already know how much drama this is about to be. If someone is mad enough to go all the way up to a hiking trail just to see you and your new boyfriend, it's a serious deal. And they're just, these are dudes from a Bible study and some friends just trying to hike, right? So they hear this, and the ex-husband and his friend are there to try to harm that boyfriend, obviously. You already know, right? The boyfriend, this is funny part of the story to me. Boyfriend runs, dips all the way, sprints away, never to be seen again. He ran for his life, right? And I'm like, for one, like, I want to blame him. I'm like, you got two guys wanting to harm you, an ex-husband. I don't blame you for getting out of there. But you should have probably took the girl with you. You know what I mean? Come on, man. We can't. We got to be better than that. But he runs off, and the girl's left alone. They're there arguing. The Evan and his friends are somewhere further off the trail, and they know this is going on. Evan starts hearing from God that you need to be ready to help. So you need to be ready to help. I find it so odd that not, it shows me what faith is, because not every guy on that trip had that same feeling. So Evan gets ready, and mind you, these guys had knives. So Evan wants to go see and make sure that girl is okay. So he goes and takes a peek, even though the friends were telling him, hey, stay out of this, let them handle it, this is their drama. He's like, no, I have to go see. So he goes and sees, and he sees them in an argument. The girl finally shakes free and runs off. The guy chases after her, drops his knife. He finally catches the girl. They're in a wrestling match, which if you ever lay a hand in front of any man, she deserves to get defended, fellas. If we're men of faith, let's make sure we do that. And Evan had that same thought. Evan runs out then with his hiking equipment, stands in front of her and the guys, and says, hey, if you're going to get to her, you're going to have to go through me. These guys had a knife. Evan, of course, had his hiking knife on him. And I don't want you to think your children's pastor is just out there being a superhero. But in this instance, he was a superhero. Stood before two men. No, this is no exaggeration or anything. Stood before them. Said, you're going to have to get through me. In that time period, she was able to run off, get into her car. The guys didn't want to fight a man. They let Evan go. He lets them go their way. She drives by quickly, says thank you to Evan, and speeds off. They go chasing after her, but they don't get her. She gets home safely. And she gets home safe. We don't know what would have happened to that woman if it wasn't for your children's leader who runs your children's ministry standing in front. Faith produces great actions. When you know God is with you, you do things like that. So Evan's over there. Stand on up, Evan. I want you guys to see your children. Amazing story. Amazing story. So just know, Valley Bible, when you send your kids into children's ministry, you got men and women of faith in there that will go to bat for your kids, because we know if God is for us, who in the world can be against us? That's faith. And once again, brings me back to this overwhelming theme of this. You have to have these faith partners with you who encourage you. That's three different people in a week span that I saw their walks with God, and it got me excited. It made me want to be better. It is, you guys understand the struggle. We're not going to want to read all the time. We're not going to go to every Bible study all the time. So start filling your friendships, your life, with people who are believers, who want to get closer to the Lord. It will help you. It's important. This is where, this will be beginning to get to the close. But I believe we have to have an understanding of Jesus paying for our sins. We have to have an understanding that you're not going to be able to live this faith walk. You're not going to be able to stand in front of people with knives. You're not going to be able to do all those things if you don't know that you were purchased with a price, that your salvation is secure. And there was an example that I saw. A pastor named Chris Vernon shared this, so it's not mine, but it was so good that I couldn't let it go. I need to get my wallet out for this one. Bear with me. This was a beautiful, beautiful thing I saw once again from another pastor. He said he got it from another pastor, so God's just using this all over the place, but this is cool. This is a dollar. It's a real crumpled up one because I haven't used it in years. It's a dollar. Its value is $1. I can fold it. How much is it worth? $1. I can crumble it. How much is it worth? $1. A homeless person can still find this. Pick it up. Dust it off a little bit. But if he walked into the store, the value is $1. And then the ultimate, this crushes me. Oh, still hurts, just ripping money. It really hurts. It really does. Now this value technically isn't $1. But if you were to put it back together, you guys already know that taping a dollar, you know, sliding it to the ice cream man. I remember doing that years. You put it back together, and it's back to its original value. This is what the point of this little thing is. You can crumble it. You can step on it. For you guys, you've been stepped on. You've been sped on. You've been told that you're not going to be anything. You've been told that this world is hopeless. You've been told that you're just this crumbled up thing. But Jesus Christ said, I know your full value. And you are that. There's nothing that you can do to this. There's nothing. Nothing anyone can do to you. Any trial that can shake you. There's nothing that can change the value that Jesus has put on your head. Jesus said what you are to die for. You are worth dying for. And he didn't only say it, he went on the cross and did it for you, right? So use this faith. If you've never accepted and said, Jesus, you know what? You did die for me. I'm going to believe it. And I'm going to live it out. I'm not going to overthink it. It says you must receive the word like a child. I tell my daughter that house next door is dangerous to stay away from. If I tell her that, for the rest of her life, she'll think that the neighbors are serial killers. Because she takes dad's word serious. If I tell her to do something, and her mom, mom spends more time with her, mom has already told her, like, this is where the milk goes. If I tell her the milk goes here, she's going to tell me, no, it goes right here. This is where my mom told me it goes. No questioning. She believes it because it came from her parents. Now, I think it's unwise to not research and understand your faith because then you have nothing to stand on. But there comes a point where you've heard about Jesus enough, you've came to church enough, that you let go of whatever it is you're holding on to and go, all right, I don't need any more proof. I'm going to follow you. Show me what you got. When you say that, when you really say that, and have that faith, God's got endless purpose for you. Endless. There's no end to what he wants to do for you. You know why it's endless purpose? Because even when you die, that's when you really start getting to be with the Lord. That's when you really start getting to experience him. Endless, endless purpose. Check out these verses. Romans 10:17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Next verse, 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin, to sins and live for righteousness. That's that blamelessness. By his wounds, we have been healed. Next verse. You were bought at a price, therefore, honor God with your bodies. Once again, that goes all the way back to that blameless living. Jesus Christ came and died so we could have a hope, that we could have this purpose, that we could live this life and be encouraging and be loving and share Christ with others. We are to start trying. Our purpose is to start trying to live blamelessly and so we can properly show that love to the rest of the world. One more verse, I believe. No, two more. God made him who had no sin to be the sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Do you guys understand where this is going? When we believe God, Jesus Christ died for our sins, it should start producing some righteousness and living like it. There's no getting past it. I'm sorry, there isn't. Next verse. Is that the last one? Oh, that is the last one I gave you guys. You guys are good. So I end with this. You can sit and hear this lesson. You can say, J2, you did a good job. You got me excited about faith. But if action doesn't come from it, it means absolutely nothing. It means nothing. Faith is this. If you have a sickness, an illness, or someone's dealing with it, we have prayer people come up at the end. We have pastors who are sitting out in the audience. Get prayer. You have a neighbor next to you. This is something I dream of. This is something I have faith in. That you don't just look for a pastor. You don't just look for someone standing up here. That you know that this is a place you can turn to the person next to you and say, hey, can you pray for me? When we get there, the world changes. When we get there, this place changes. Let's act it out. Get prayer. Do not leave without praying together for something. If you're like me, I was nervous. I couldn't do it. I'm going to give you guys a small out. I was nervous. I couldn't do it at first. But I expect you guys to be better than me. But I went home after I heard a message that got to my heart. And I went in my bathroom. I locked myself in there. And I talked to Jesus until he told me everything that he had in store for me. If that's you, you go and do that. But the rest of us, let's pray about these situations and believe and let God have a chance to be glorified. It says you have not because you ask not. We have to pray in agreement with each other and go, all right, God, what is your will? My family's sick. Do you want to heal them? Do you want me to minister to them? Do you want me to tell them to persevere? What do you want? Most of us pray once, see nothing happen, and give up on faith and stop knocking. It's time to put an end to that. If I could think of a plan that Satan could have to stop people from praying, it would be to get them to pray once and give up. It's a perfect plan. God says, keep seeking, keep knocking, and you will find. It may not be the answer you want, but it'll be the answer you need, and you'll have peace because you know God is in control. I don't know where my wife's health is going, but I know he's in control, and it hasn't changed the way I walk. It hasn't changed how good my father is. I just want to share that with you guys. So please do me the honor of not just listening to what I said tonight. You pray with your family, you go to these wonderful men of God, and you get prayer. You get prayer and you pray to our Lord and watch him get glorified. Watch the stories that come from it. Watch. Something's going to happen. He's going to move. He's going to speak. He talks to us still. He's still alive, still active to this day. Holy Spirit, help us. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. I pray in the name of Jesus, if anyone needs to handle a situation, God, if anyone needs to handle some hurt, if anyone needs to handle some illness, if anyone needs to handle some disbelief, that you would give them the boldness and the courage. Holy Spirit, not let them leave this place without praying to you, Father. And we are not in control, it's you. So we ask, yes, we ask for miracles, Father, but that's not the only answer we need. We want your will to be done. Show us how to persevere. Show us how to push through. Show us how to read, fight, and pray together as a family. Continue to build this church to seek your face correctly. We thank you, thank you, thank you for meeting us where we're at. In Jesus' name, everyone said,
amen.
You have prayer people here, come do it. Also, we have lunch break on Thursday. You guys watch us, Pastor Tom and myself, Thursdays at noon. See you later.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King. Give us